Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse applies to managing money as much as anything else. But how should Christian parents train up their children? We'll hear some great insights on that today from Brian Holtz. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Brian Holtz is the Chief Executive Officer at Compass, well-versed in finances. Brian had some great teaching for us at the Kingdom Advisors Conference in Orlando about financial discipleship for families, and we thought we'd share just a bit of that with you right now.
We're going to introduce a concept that's foundational. So Howard Dayton came up with this acronym, and it's really catchy. The idea behind it is not all that new. You'll find it in any sort of educational theory, but we call it MVP parenting. MVP parenting consists of three things. You're going to provide modeling, meaning you're going to do it in a way they can see. And so the important thing here is that they have to be able to see it, right? If you want your child to learn how to pray, but you only pray in your prayer closet, all they know is that you're in the closet. You got it? As parents, we know that our kids are always watching, aren't they? Especially when you don't want them watching. They are constantly absorbing it and soaking it in. And that's what modeling is. And whether we think we're modeling or not, we are modeling. They are learning our behavior. They're either learning how intentional we are with money or how we handle it kind of haphazardly, right? Either way, they're learning. So we want to model the right behavior and model it in a way that they can see. Second, we want to provide verbal instruction, which is explain it in a way they can understand. So, all right, I'm praying after I've done my Bible reading. I now want to say to my kids, now that I've reflected on God's word, I'm now praying because. Because otherwise they're going to guess. They're going to fill in the blank, right? Imagine how many explanations my four-year-old daughter could come up with for why I put money in the plate at church. Do I have to rent the seat? Is this like a pay it forward thing? And if I get to heaven and I haven't paid enough, they're going to kick me out and take my shoe. These are the kinds of things my daughter thinks about, right? And so I can close that gap by actually telling them why I do it. I explain the what and I explain the why. Third, we provide practical opportunities, which is inviting them in a way that they will try. We want them to actually engage in this, right? It's not enough that they've seen us do it and they know what and why. We want to give them opportunities under our supervision where they can actually give it a try in a way that's appropriate for their age group. All right, now let's get into how we have these conversations. What is your experience? Document your experience. This is a little bit of the modeling part, right? What have you done to prepare this wealth that is now in front of us? How can you have this MVP experience with the next generation? Now, these work, by the way, with adult children. It work with little children. It doesn't matter what their age is. Modeling, verbal explanation, and inviting practical experiences are all very effective ways to help anyone. I've done this in the corporate world at work, right? I've got to make a presentation to the board. And so I bring my junior member along and I say, here's how this went down and here's why. Now, next time, I'm going to have you do 30 seconds of presentation. Or I say, you're going to pretend to do a board meeting. What am I doing? I'm raising up the next generation, and this is a grown being, right? This is an adult in the workplace. We can do the same thing with our kids, but it starts with the family vision. It starts with, why are we doing this? Why do we exist? Why has this wealth been entrusted to us? And why do we make the decisions that we do? Right? If we don't have core values and a family vision, it's all going to fall apart. Good depends on purpose, doesn't it? If I ask you if my book is good, I know you're all going to say yes. But if you're a person who likes to read biographies, then it's not a good book to you, is it? But if you want to learn how to teach your kids biblical financial principles, it's a very good book. But whether or not it's good depends on its purpose. And so if our family is going to be good stewards, we have to define what that means. What has our family been called to do?
That was Brian Holt, CEO of Compass, well-versed in finances at the Kingdom Advisors Conference in Orlando. His new book is titled Financial Discipleship for Families, Intentionally Raising Faithful Children. You can buy it wherever you get your books. Your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Our culture has a humility problem. But really, self-centeredness isn't unique to Western culture. It's a human problem, a culture problem for the world. And social media and the cacophony of influencers coming with it haven't helped. To a world that's saying constantly, me, 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 the Apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter 5, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." So while others are exalting themselves as followers of Jesus, we know there is a better way. Just as Jesus humbled himself and was exalted, so we may humble ourselves, that we may also be exalted in heaven with our Lord and in his presence. See Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and he doesn't want his people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know him.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Great to have my friend Brian Holtz with us today, sharing about being an MVP parent. You know, folks, we have a high calling as we train future adults in our homes. And as we heed that counsel from Brian of modeling and verbal communication and practical application, helping our children, whether they're still in our home or even adults, modeling the right disciplines and behaviors, helping them to understand that God owns it all and money is a good gift from the Lord and we're stewards. And to be found faithful, we need to live within our means and operate with contentment, that we have to exercise discipline and self-control, living within our means, that we're to give generously, and that breaks the grip of money over our lives. It allows us to participate in God's activities, modeling those right behaviors and attitudes, even getting the kids involved from time to time in the money management will go a long way to helping them not only be financially literate when they get when they leave the home, meaning they understand the dangers of debt, they understand how compounding can work for them or against them, they can manage a checking account, they can
understand how to buy a house. I mean, all of these key ideas that they're to work hard. I mean, that's obviously foundational, but also the biblical worldview alongside it, because it's not just the mechanics, the financial literacy, it's all of these other issues, because underneath money issues are ultimately heart issues. You remember Jesus says your money follows your heart? He said specifically where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we know that money issues underneath them really are our values and our belief system that's driving the outworking of our financial decision-making each day. It's kind of like that iceberg. You know, you only see 10% above the waterline, but the 90% below is where the real mass is. And I would suggest that with your money management decisions, the spending and the outworking of your money decisions is just the tip of the iceberg. What's underneath is really your worldview and your values and the trust that you've placed in God and your willingness to exercise self-discipline, your counteracting greed and pride and covetousness. I mean, all of these things that we read about in Scripture. So this is a big idea. There's some great resources out there that I think can help you along the way. A great book called Trusted from Matt Bell would be a great resource on this topic if you want to understand how you can share this with your kids, and there's a host of others. But just be intentional. I think that model, verbal communication and practical application, MVP, that Brian shared is a great framework to at least think about how you might train and instruct your children in wise money management. All right, we're ready to turn the corner today and take your calls and questions on anything financial. Lines are filling, but we still have, it looks like, two remaining. 800-525-7000. You can call right now with your financial questions, 800-525-7000. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in New York. Jack, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, Jack. This is Jack.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I'm an 85-year-old retired vet, actually disabled vet, and I have a home. I've had some financial reverses lately, and I have a home that has considerable value in it, and I'm wondering the pros and cons of seeking a reverse mortgage.
I'd be happy to walk you through that, Jack. Let me just ask you, do you have at least 50% equity in the home?
Let's see. Yes. It's worth about probably $400,000, and I owe $95,000.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And tell me about kind of where your challenges are right now. Is it just having access to funds when the unexpected comes up, or is it really more about a gap in your monthly income to balance your budget and you really need a more consistent flow of cash into your life?
More of the latter. My biggest claim to fame was I was an airline captain. And in the later years, I developed land and built A-frame chalets and log cabins.
Nice.
And I'm still very active, even though I'm 85. I sold these properties and took back mortgages. I gave lots of people a chance with almost no down payments and easy terms and so on.
Yes.
But the problem is, and then later, after I seasoned those mortgages, I sold them to a bank. It's not a traditional bank. It's a group of accountants who formed a bank, and they deal with people. They buy mortgages from people like me who develop. And I've had a lot of reverses in the mortgages that I sold them after I seasoned them for a year or two. I had a lot of reverses. And the problem is that I have recourse, that if the mortgagees go bad, then I have to take over and resell the property.
Sure.
And this has caused me to be, I probably have maybe $600,000 behind now. So my cash flow is not sufficient. I'm having trouble meeting all the bills. I have about $4,000 a month income from the VA and Social Security. My wife runs the house on that, and then I take care of everything else.
Yeah, now, very good.
She's heard some negative things about reverse mortgages. I've heard some positive things, so I'd like to see what you think.
Very good. Yeah, and that was really helpful background, Jack. So I think it could work well in your situation. I mean, here's the reality. We have to look at the assets that God has entrusted to us during this season of life and think about the best way to steward those assets. So, you know, some people have IRAs and 401ks. Others have, you know, substantial savings just sitting in an interest-bearing account. Others have a good bit tied up in home equity. I mean, we have, you know, various assets. And so the key is, how do we exercise good stewardship, balance our budget, always asking the Lord, what lifestyle have you called me to? And it sounds like you all are living modestly, but because of some of these reversals that you described, you're just a little short. And so I think the idea behind a reverse mortgage would really say, because you're in a position to do it, you're over 62, you have more than 50% equity, you could take that equity that you have and turn that into a monthly income stream for the rest of your life. So what would happen is the first step would be to pay off that existing mortgage that's there of about $95,000. And then after that's paid off, the remaining mortgage could then be paid out to you in the form of a monthly check, which would do two things. Number one, it would eliminate that mortgage payment that you're making every month. So that would free up more cash flow. And then second, in addition to eliminating it, it would provide you a check every month. Now, the benefit is that with the home equity conversion mortgages, number one, they can't, you know, take your home. You still have title to the home. There is no recourse. So no matter how much they pay you and no matter how long you live, you only have the collateral of the home to satisfy the note. And if it's ever grows to more than the value of the home, the government will step in and pay it. So let's do this. I've got to take a break, but I want to finish my thoughts on the other side and get you to respond. I'll be right back.
So I just joined 1 Million Moms.
But I
know I should have done it a few years ago when you sent your email about the trash in the media, but it just didn't seem to be worth it then.
So what changed?
Oh my goodness, have you seen that preview? It's pornographic.
Media isn't going to get better until concerned consumers get involved. 1 Million Moms has been calling on us to do just that for 14 years, with many successes along the way. When you see something, say something at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The 2024 Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge is a great way to teach children and youth between 7 and 17 to lead a life that honors God. Just have them write a 3 to 5 minute speech on the topic, Why Are the Ten Commandments Important? Then use your cell phone or other means to record them reading the speech and submit it by June 30th. Find out all the details and upload your recording at afr.net/Ten Commandments. That's afr.net/Ten Commandments.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions. One line open, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Jack in New York. He's a retired disabled veteran. He's a builder. He's also been, you know, saving diligently God's money and wondering how in this season of life, because of some challenges they've had financially, how he can leverage the assets that he has, namely the home that they're living in, where he's got a good bit of equity, perhaps as much as $300,000 or more. And yet in their monthly expenses, they're a little tight on their income just in terms of balancing the budget. And so he was asking specifically about a reverse mortgage, the pros and cons. And Jack, as I was sharing before the break, you know, one of the benefits, if you look at this asset as something that could provide you additional income, I think that's where a reverse mortgage really shines in this season, because it does two things. It eliminates that current mortgage payment, so that's gone because it gets paid off by the reverse mortgage and there is no payment on a reverse mortgage. And then secondly, the remaining equity based on your age could be converted to an income stream for the rest of your life. It's not taxable, so it's income coming to you that's not taxable, which is nice. And as I mentioned, the nice thing about the home equity conversion mortgage, the kind of new variety of reverse mortgage, is that you're protected if that balance ever grows to exceed your home's value. The Federal Housing Administration actually would step in and pay that off. And so generally what's happening is as your home continues to appreciate, even though you're not paying a mortgage payment and that balance is growing by the interest rate and fees, your home's continuing to appreciate alongside it. And then at your death or when you sell the home, your heirs would have to sell the property to repay the debt, and they'd keep any equity above the loan balance, or they could pay it off out of pocket if they wanted to keep the property. You know, or get refinance it and essentially pay off the reverse mortgage balance. So I think in your situation, just given everything you've described, this could be a really nice option for you all. And if you predecease your wife, she obviously has the ability to continue to live there until she passes away, at which point the reverse mortgage would need to be paid off. But give me your thoughts and questions on all that.
Well, you've summed it up a great deal. excuse me. it certainly sounds advantageous.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my voice seems to be failing there for a second.
It's okay.
do you have any good recommendations as to where to go?
Yeah, I
have looked into it a little bit, and it was not very productive.
Sure. Yeah, let's do this. I'll do a couple of things for you. I'm going to get you to hang on the line. We'll get your information. I want to send you a book that you and your wife can read. It's called Understanding Reverse. It's a quick read that I think will give you all the nuts and bolts of it. We'll send you that as our gift, Jack. And then I can also get somebody in touch with you to answer all of your questions. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information and we'll have somebody reach out to you. Is there okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Very good, Jack. Hey, thank you for your service to our country, sir. We're grateful. We appreciate your call today. Let's go to Georgia. Hi, John. How can I help?
Hey, yeah. Really appreciate taking my call. I'm in a situation where, you know, I owe $160,000 on my home, and the interest rate is like in the eight point something. And so we just financed it this year, and we had an interest rate of 8.5%. The payments are around $1,500 a month for, you know, the house and insurance. So I have the money in the bank that would let me pay off the house, but then I would not have any real savings. So I was thinking, I had the opportunity to get a $40,000 loan, personal loan, at 7.49%. And I was thinking, okay, I take out that loan as backup money in case, you know, we have something go wrong. And then I pay the house off. And then I just spend 6 years paying off that personal loan, or pay it off sooner, because I'm still working. I'm still employed. And so I was wondering if you think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So you'd get the personal loan at 7.49, and there's no collateral related to that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. There's no collateral.
And what are the terms of that loan?
It's six years. It could, you know, I can get it at 6 years or 5 years, whatever, but it has to be paid off in 6 years, and it's like $800 a month, something like that. So it would be a total interest payment of $6,000. Whereas right now I'm paying $1,500 a month, and only about $150 is going to principal on my house. The rest is all interest.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. I think the key would be, so in this case, you'd be paying, you know, you said $600 a month for 6 years. And so you'd pay back
$800 a month for 6 years.
Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah. And then obviously you'd still have the taxes and the insurance on top of it. You would be dropping at least the, you know, the mortgage payment on that. At least the principal and interest portion. And so you could kind of essentially swap those, but now you no longer have the mortgage there on that property. Yeah. I mean, you certainly could do that. I'd be a little surprised if you could do that at 7.49, but if you could, you know, that, I mean, obviously you're taking secured debt and you're replacing it with unsecured debt. You also have to, you know, just recognize, you've got to do the apples to apples comparison and make sure that when you add the taxes and insurance, you can still cover that note, on a monthly basis. But at the end of the day, if you're going to pay less interest over the next 6 years, versus what you would pay on the mortgage, then, you know, I think that's a good deal. I am concerned about you getting, you know, depleting your cash. And so I would want to make sure that you feel like you know, you can go ahead with this, because what we don't want to do is have you get down where you don't have enough emergency savings. But if you can have that emergency savings, this, you know, the terms are correct and you've read all the fine print, you can cover it out of cash flow, meaning your outlay on the debt service is not going up significantly, which could create a hardship for you, and you're going to pay less interest over time, I can get on board with it. Thanks for your call, John. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
The United States of America was established as one nation under God. But with each passing decade, our nation strays farther from its biblical foundation. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches that if America doesn't change course, our future is dark. Discover why America must turn back to God if she wants to prosper. This week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've still got room for more questions today. A few lines open at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Carol. How can I help you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. I was one of the stupid people a bazillion years ago that bought a timeshare. Okay. And I've just been paying the maintenance fees every month. My kids are very happy to use it for the week I have, but it's really not.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, if you're paying $1,600 a year in maintenance fees for 1 week at a okay resort, that's not that great. What right. I was wondering, is there any way, I mean, I know there are people that can promise that they'll get rid of it for you for thousands of dollars or whatever. Is there any way to leave it to a charity? Can they do anything with it?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'm sorry you got kind of roped into one of these. And the challenge is I've never found I'm not saying they don't exist, but I've never found a reputable organization that can actually help you get rid of these like many claim to do. And so I wouldn't be able to recommend you go that route without doing a lot of due diligence on any organization that might help you unload it. You know, the best option, but this is often unsuccessful, is to go back to the original organization that sold it to you and see if you could kind of give it back, so to speak, and just get out from under the maintenance, which is the key. You know, most charities aren't going to want to touch it. Just because the annual cost of the timeshare ownership is, you know, problematic. Now, you know, in a few cases where they will take a timeshare donation, essentially they use it to generate revenue by either renting them to donors or maybe offering the vacation week for auction at a charity event, something like that. But the vast majority of them, Carol, are going to tell you they're just not in a position to take it. And it's always going to come down to, number one, the hassle and the work involved in even deeding it over. But then more importantly, just that ongoing expense and burden that they would be assuming with the gift. And so they have to be really thoughtful and strategic about how to leverage it. Otherwise, it's going to end up being a cost center to them, and that defeats the purpose. So you would absolutely need to call, you know, any charity you wanted to be able to give it to see. And I suspect what you would probably run into is that they're not interested in taking it on. In terms of where you go from here, you know, typically what we would advise is you go back to the person you bought it from, the organization, see if they'd be willing to take it back and just, you know, essentially eliminate the ongoing maintenance fee, and then maybe they could resell it. Second is there is a users group, kind of a marketplace for timeshares on the web at tug2.com. That's T-U-G and the number 2.com. That stands for Timeshare Users Group. And you could post it there, see if somebody'd be willing to take it off your hands or buy it from you, that type of thing. So, I mean, those are typically the way you would go. You could try to list it on your own. You're just, it's going to be challenging because there's, as you might imagine, just far more people that are in your position than there are people looking to buy them. And those that are looking to buy them, typically they're being sold by somebody who's very skilled as a salesperson and, you know, giving a free weekend in exchange for a song and a dance that, you know, sounds pretty attractive at the time, but you come to regret down the road. So, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of great information for you in terms of where you go from here. But I think the idea of a charity, although it's a good thought, is probably not going to yield much fruit.
Okay, well, I'll just see what I can do to get rid of it when I'm dead, and hopefully it won't hurt anybody.
Yes. All right, Carol. Hey, thanks for being on the program today. God bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Sean. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for your call, sir.
Great. Okay. I've got $100,000 in a 401k plan left over after I retired from UPS. It's not being used. It's just sitting there. And I just was approached by somebody on my new job about giving her that money. She would add 30% to it and guarantee 8% return for 10 years, and then that would turn into like $450,000. And I was wondering if that was a good idea, if you had a better idea for my 401k plan, and what questions you think I might ask this woman.
Wow, Sean, I wouldn't go anywhere near that. It's one of those in the too good to be true columns that you need to stay far away from. Let me just make sure I understood what you said. Number one, she wants you to, quote, give her the 401k. How would that happen? You mean let her manage it? And where would it?
I would just transfer the funds to, she said it was with Nationwide. I don't really know.
Okay.
I assume there's things you do with the money to move it somewhere to reinvest it.
Well, you could roll it out of the 401k into an IRA. You could also roll it into a qualified annuity, which is what an insurance company like Nationwide would typically offer. But let me just then go to the second piece. So she said she's going to give you a 30% bonus on it plus 10% a year in terms of a guaranteed 8%. Return? 8% a year.
She said 30%. They'll add 30% to it. She did call it an annuity. She said 30% would be added to the investment immediately, and then she'd guarantee 8% per year, and it would be there for 10 years. And then after that, I could start withdrawing from it a certain amount of money per month for, I guess, until I die or something.
Yeah, there's no such thing, Sean. That insurance company would go out of business. There's nobody that offers a 30% bonus and a guaranteed 8% return. If there was, everybody would do that. You wouldn't have anybody investing in the stock market anymore. They'd be giving all their money to Nationwide in this case, I guess. So, a 30%, I mean, bonuses are not uncommon, not anywhere near 30%. And then there are, you know, guaranteed annuities, but they're not paying anywhere near 8%. So there's just too many things that don't add up there that I would probably, head the other direction. Now, where do you go with this 401k? Well, what I would typically do is hire an advisor to manage it for you. I would roll it out of the UPS 401k if you're no longer employed there, which you can do, put it into an IRA. And then I would say, if you don't want to manage it yourself, which I typically would say for most folks, you know, they've got other interests. They're not, you know, trained in that. I would hire an advisor, and we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. So you could go to faithfi.com, click find a professional, put in your zip code, find the Certified Kingdom Advisors in your area, interview two or three, find the one that's the best fit. But, I'm not entirely opposed to an annuity. They're not my first choice because they're expensive, and you typically, in a variable annuity, you might get a portion of the upside, but you don't get the full upside in exchange for downside protection. But, you know, at your age, you've still got plenty of time on your side. I mean, you need to be planning for this money to try to last until, you know, 95 or older, which means you still have decades for this money to grow. And that means, I think, investing it. And I think for most folks, that means outside of an insurance policy. Does that all make sense, though?
Okay. Yes, sir. I'll check in with a certified Kingdom advisor.
Okay, great. Hey, Sean, thanks for your call today. I wish it was legit, but I can't get on board with that. It's the promises she's making are just way too rich for anything that's available today. God bless you, sir. We appreciate your call today. Well, folks, a quick break and back with our final segment. I've got room for perhaps one more question. 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I gotta kick open my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But He does expect you to be His ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Let me mention quickly before we head back to the phones, this is a really important time of year for us here at FaithFi. We're headed quickly toward, and this is hard to believe, June the 30th. Now, why is that important? Well, that's the end of our fiscal year here at FaithFi, which means as a listener-supported ministry, this is a really important time for us to kind of close out the year strong, reach those listener support goals that we have for the year, and we're making great progress. We're still about 50,000 away from reaching that goal over the next couple of weeks. And so if you've found value in this program, perhaps you listen regularly, you've been able to apply something you've heard, you've been encouraged by the ministry either on the air or through the app or on our website at faithfi.com, we would just invite you to be a supporter of the ministry. A gift before June the 30th would go a long way to helping us close out the year strong. And so a gift of any amount, $100, $1,000, perhaps you have been blessed with a bit more, and you could do one of those leadership gifts right now at faithfi.com/give. We'd certainly be grateful. Again, the website, faithfi.com, and then click give right there at the top of the page. You'll find an online secure form to give, an address to send it through the mail, or a phone number if you'd rather talk to somebody. Again, that's faithfi.com, and thanks in advance. All right, let's round out the program today. We've got some great questions coming up. We'll head out to Ohio and welcome Aaron to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have an LLC, sole proprietor LLC, and I was wanting to set up another LLC. And you go online and there's so many people that want to tell you how to set it up. You should have a holding company. You should have a trust above the holding company. There's so many different options out there. I didn't know what you would recommend, how I should go about structuring something like that.
Yeah. What I would do is visit with a godly attorney who can just look at your situation. I'm not trying to put the question off, but I do think you need to understand what are your objectives in terms of protecting yourself from a liability standpoint, as well as the tax structure of the corporation, to make sure that you're being, you know, you have the structure that's right for you. I like the idea of an LLC. It's basically going to protect the assets of its owner from lawsuits and creditors concerned with the company's business debt. So it's kind of combining the characteristics of a corporation with those of a partnership or sole proprietorship. So while the limited liability feature is similar to that of a corporation, the availability of the pass-through taxation to the members of the LLC is a feature of a partnership or a sole proprietorship rather than the LLC. And so you've got kind of this dual function going on here, or this combination of characteristics. And I think, you know, that offers you some tax benefits because you could pay yourself, you know, a salary out of it. You could take distributions. Everything passes through to you personally, but you've got this protection that's typically, you know, afforded through a corporation. So I think that the big idea of it makes a lot of sense. I think the question is getting the right structure, getting that formed legally, and then making sure you maintain that in terms of, you know, the annual requirements and filings, so, you know, you're up to date, and then having a good set of books that's separate from your personal finances so you can document business expenses and, you know, be in good standing before the IRS. All of that is really key, and I think getting some professional counsel to help you with that is the best way to go. If you don't have anybody, Aaron, you could reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Ohio and ask for referrals to either CPAs or attorneys that could help you put all of this in place. But hopefully that at least gives you a few things to think about.
Yeah, you don't really have anybody that you could recommend me to, or would I just have to kind of figure that out myself?
Yeah, what I would do is reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Ohio. So, you know, anybody who has the designation on our website at faithfi.com could be able to refer you to a godly CPA and or attorney. And so that would be the place that I would go. I really don't have a national resource for you, and you do want somebody locally anyway. So that would be my next step. We appreciate your call, though, sir. God bless you and your business endeavors. Thanks for being on the program. Out to Virginia. And Susan, I understand you have a comment. We had a previous caller who was asking about timeshares. Share your experience and advice.
Okay, I had my timeshare 26 and a half years. I bought it in 1993, and I was ready to get rid of it, okay? What I did, a friend, Sharon, told me about this. I wrote a letter to them, to the people in Duck, North Carolina, certified letter with a receipt back to me, and telling them that I surrendered my timeshare with no money back to me. Because I sent it the receipt, they got the letter on December the 30th, 2019. The next month, which is January, when they'd usually assess people the, you know, maintenance fees and so forth, I received a bill from them for about $4,500. But because it was because of weather-related situations, expenses. I was so thankful to God that I had sent that certified letter telling them that I surrendered my timeshare with no money back to me. And they kept for a while, they kept trying to get the money from me. And I kept saying I surrendered the timeshare and I'd send them a copy of my letter. Anyway, I just wanted to tell that lady, because had my friend Sharon not told me, I wouldn't have known about it. And I hope the lady is still listening.
Yeah. So, very good, Susan. Well, I appreciate you sharing your experience, and I'm thrilled to hear that it worked out that way. The only thing I would just caution our listeners on, and I'm not disagreeing with your experience, and that and what you shared was fabulous, is just make sure that they are in fact going to release you from it. Because if they don't, and they don't have to, because you've agreed to continue to make these payments for the maintenance in the contract, into perpetuity in most cases, you know, they have the ability, despite you saying, I want to turn it back over, they don't have to take it. And they'll, you know, make phone calls and send letters. They'll eventually, in most cases, assign it to a collections company. And then if you don't pay at that point, it could further escalate into foreclosure and even possible legal action against you. So I just want to make sure folks know that, you know, they don't have to accept that, but it's worth a shot. And, you know, as long as you stay on it and don't just wash your hands of it so that you're not surprised by some action coming down the road because of your failure to pay, I think that's the key piece of that. Does that make sense, Susan?
It does. I had no mortgage. Okay. The only thing that I would have owed them would be the maintenance fee.
Right.
But, you know, after, and my week was the week of Thanksgiving, which you'd think that'd be a great week. But, you know, my children had children that were still in school up until, you know, Thanksgiving. And one time I went down there on Thanksgiving, I always, you know, traded for another week. But I went down there one time on Thanksgiving. And when I went to the restaurant by myself, on Thanksgiving Day, I said, never again.
And I continued
to trade and go to different places, which was great.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I talked to a lot of people in your situation. But I will say, though, that even if you don't have a balance on it, even just failing to pay the maintenance fees could result in you having extra fees and even legal action, such as a lien or a foreclosure, even just for the maintenance fees. So once you've committed to it, if you stop paying it, regardless of whether you tell them you're turning it back over to them by the certified mail, they don't have to let you out of that obligation. So just make sure that they are, in fact, going to do that before you kind of move on and wash your hands of it. Susan, God bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Mississippi. Miguel, you'll be our next caller. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. Thank you
doing
for all
great.
Your help.
Yes, sir.
In Mississippi, and then we really mean it from the bottom of my heart.
I appreciate that. It means a lot, sir.
Yes, sir. I have a pretty nice house. I'm 58 years old. I have a car that's paid off in pretty good shape, but I need a will and a trust.
Okay.
And I don't even know. I don't know where to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a company, willtrust.com.
Yes.
But I need something that's, you know, godly.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, trustandwill.com has been doing a ton of advertising lately, and, you know, they do make it very simple. I think for estate planning, having an attorney in your state and to your latter point, having an attorney who shares your values and can really help you think through this really important and final stewardship decision that you will make as a manager of God's resources, making that decision through the lens of biblical wisdom, which isn't just about getting the documents in place. It's a lot of the why before the how, meaning, you know, are you leaving anything to heirs? And what is the trajectory of their life currently? And to the extent you're leaving, you know, sizable assets, you know, could that get in the way or accelerate their lifestyle that's moving away from the Lord? You know, just thinking through, not only is the next steward chosen, but are they prepared? And that's just one of the issues that a godly estate attorney would help you think through. So your question is, where do you go to find one? Well, here's what I would do. I'd head to our website. It's faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Right there at the top of the page, it'll say find a professional. I would put in either financial planner or investment to find a certified kingdom advisor there in Mississippi. And then any one of those that you contact, if you say, listen, I listen to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, Rob said to reach out to you, and you could refer me to a godly estate attorney in our area. They'd all have one or more that they work with, and they could make that referral for you. Set up an appointment, go in, and they can take care of that trust if you need it, and certainly that will. So again, faithfi.com, just click find a professional, choose investments or financial planning, and ask for a referral. Miguel, thanks for your call, sir. May the Lord bless you. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. So thankful for my team today. I couldn't do it without them. Autumn handling our phones today, as well as Devin Patrick, my producer and engineer. Also, Jim Henry providing great research today. And the rest of the team here at FaithFi, an amazing group of men and women that make this possible each day. One more time, folks, between now and June 30th, the end of our fiscal year, a gift of any amount would go a long way to helping us reach our goals here as a listener-supported ministry. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. Thanks in advance. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.